Hi, my beautiful listeners, and welcome to another episode of Mindful the Podcast. Now, I am so thrilled today to have with us Oni Michelski. Oni is going to help us out with this such a, I say, demanding and, you know, this topic on moms reclaiming yourself and finding time for self-care as a mom. And I know I need this. I need this as a conversation because I'm always ranting and raving about being a mom. Now,
yes, there's lots of moms
I can tell you. But Oni is a licensed professional therapist, a life coach, a podcaster, and the founder of Moms Without Capes. Oni's mission is to help women rediscover their true worth and to reclaim their passions and find fulfillment in life beyond their role as a mom. Oni, thank you for coming and talking with us, and welcome.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Claudine. I love talking about, this is my passion, so I love talking about it with other women.
And this is my ranting point, being a mom, so I don't mind talking about it too. But you know, Oni, this topic is so pertinent right now. And as I said before, especially for me as a first time mom, you know, and I did a podcast episode called Tired of Being a Mom, because I was really tired of, you know, being the one to do everything, to be the one to talk about everything, to think about everything. I'm the one that everybody calls upon, you know.
Yes.
It's a lot. And I know a lot of persons, it resonated with a lot of persons in my ranting that I was tired of being a mom. So, you know, this topic is so pertinent right now. And I mean, for self-care, you know, sometimes we have zero time yeah, for self-care, you know. So thank you for coming and talking to us, Oni. But first, before we get into it, do you want to tell us a little about yourself?
Sure. So as you said in my bio, I am a licensed therapist. I live here in Montana in the United States, and I am a mom of six. So ooh, I am a recovering super mom, which is why, you know, I named my whole business Moms Without About the Supermom Complex, which I have struggled with. There are times where it wants to sneak back in, and I really, you know, have to be intentional about making sure I am hanging up my cape first, to say that I am really intentional about making sure that I am more than a mom, right? Like recognizing that I am more than a mom and making sure that my priorities and my time reflects that. And so as a mom of six, my kids range from 23. I've got 19-year-old, which my 23 and 19-year-old are out of the house. They still live in my same town. And then I've got twin 16-year-olds about to be 17 in here in a couple of days, and then a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. So I'm still very much in the thick of like raising kids. I've got my 9-year-old home sick today, so I had to rearrange the schedule and all of that, which I have that flexibility to be able to, or that ability to be able to be flexible. Yeah, so I'm doing the things, but through the years, things have definitely changed as far as I've been able to make time for myself. I've realized it's not optional. It's something that I absolutely needed to do. But in order to do that, and we'll get more into this, in order to do this, it was less about like the logistics of making time and more about recognizing my own worth and recognizing that I mattered and that I was important enough to prioritize and to spend time on. And I really had to get over some mental blocks. Like I had to deal with my perfectionism, thinking that all the stars had to line up, that everything had to be done and everything had to be done perfect. So I had a lot of perfectionism that I had to deal with, which was also about the control, right? Letting go of that control. I had really bad people-pleasing tendencies. So I found it was my job to make everyone and everyone happy around me. And I really went above and beyond to put my own self on the back burner per se and make sure everyone else's needs were taken care of. And think that had to switch in order for me to make time for myself or consider myself worthy enough to make time. Once I started doing that and learning how to set stronger boundaries, I was able to do, you know, make time for myself. And then the third thing was like a lot of those unrealistic expectations that I had, you know, I really had to identify and challenge them, which that's where a lot of my counseling background came in, because my background is cognitive behavioral therapy. So it's a lot of challenging your limiting beliefs. And so I had to really do the work as it pertained to me as a mom and challenge those beliefs that I was holding and really get curious about what's going on? What am I thinking?
Yes.
And before that, I really just filled my schedule with so many commitments and thinking that was what I had to do to be a super mom, you know? And I had to change. I had to make a lot of changes just to be able to make time for me, because, you know, not to go back to like that, the whole thing, like you have to make sure your own cup is filled and, you know, to be able to give to others. It really was true, because I was burnt out. I was exhausted. I didn't know how to ask or accept for help or accept help. Like I thought that it was my job, you know, like and my job alone. And so I really had to learn some tools to be able to give myself space to feel and to feel like, and it was, it's a ripple effect, because it, you know, it's a win-win, because my kids get to see me, my authentic self, a mom who's like, you know, a nervous wreck trying to make sure everything goes correctly and goes right, because it doesn't, it really does. So yeah, so that's just a little bit about me and how I got to be where I am.
But you see, Ani, I love that you said the perfectionism, you know, and you had to let go of that control and that perfectionism, and you had to come to the realization that, you know, you needed time for you so that your kids could see you and not just busy you trying to do everything. But for me, I know I'm a working mom, like 9 to 5, mm-hmm. go in and out every day. You know, and a lot of us Caribbean women were like that. We have like 9 to 5 jobs, and we're trying to also hustle. You do a little hustling outside. And
you got on your podcast.
Yes. And, you know, we're a part of church groups, we're a part of this group. The demands of school want you to participate, be in, you know, parent teachers' things. Yeah. Activities mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And I know for me, I realized that I needed to, you know, set aside time for myself, because I was just drowning in all these kid things and all the demands.
Yes.
And I started setting like even time, putting in my calendar time for mm-hmm. me time. So I'd put, you know, a coffee date with myself mm-hmm. or just self-care day. But honey, I have to be honest. It gets smashed.
Is it the first thing that goes?
Yeah. It goes. So how can we really and truly find time for ourselves as mom?
So one is really shifting the beliefs, because I find that to be very true. Like when I first started my, you know, Moms Without Capes, I was like, you know, I'm like, the one number one thing moms say is that they don't have the time. Time for self-care, which is funny. So I went through, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Amy Field. I went through her Digital Course Academy. Okay, so she's like a digital course guru. She's amazing at what she does. And I was like, I'm gonna create a digital course. And I created a digital course that had to do with time. Because I'm like, I'm really good with my time, you know, like I figured it out and all this stuff. And so I created a whole time management course, and I sold zilch. And I realized that, you know, even though we say that it's time that keeps us back, it's really what we're doing with the time and what we can prioritize. And it's easy for me, well, you're not prioritizing yourself, right? Because it's the first thing to go. But you're right. Moms, we have so many demands on our time that it's hard to sift and prioritize and recognize that, you know, it's when you start prioritizing yourself, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes a day, that's going to start being like that's going to start shifting those beliefs, because you're going to start recognizing, like, spending time with yourself, because you're spending time doing things that you deem as important. And so when you start that shift of, okay, I'm going to start making time for myself, I'm going to start carving out time. We say start with the bookends. This means mornings, nights, and weekends. Those are the key times, because otherwise your days are super busy. Like, you're working 9 to 5. And so starting with those times, that whether that is waking, I know everyone hates to hear this, but maybe that means waking up 15 minutes early or staying up 15 minutes later and doing some journaling, not scrolling on your phone, not binging Netflix, but like doing some just reflection on your thoughts. The more time you do that, the more space you give yourself, maybe even engaging in a creative pursuit. Like, that's a huge thing, because it's been for so many of my moms in my community, they're like, I'm like, well, what do you like to do? And they're like, I don't even know what I like to do. It's been so long since I've like read a book or went for a walk, like that they have completely put themselves on the back burner and they don't even remember who they are. So giving yourself that 15, start with twice a week and allowing yourself to maybe get to sit back down on your piano, something, or think back of like, what did you do as a child, or what did you do pre-kids that you really enjoyed, that you got lost in the flow and you didn't even realize time was going by? Start with that. Start, just kind of brainstorming and making a list. That could be your first journal exercise, is sitting down and like, what is it that I would try that I haven't tried or that I haven't done for a while? And just coming out with that list. But we're so used to living on autopilot and filling our schedule with so many things that we don't even, a lot of times it's avoidance, avoiding like, what are you trying to escape from? And that might not be all the, that's not all the cases, but a lot of times that is what we do. Because we feel like if we're busy, we don't have to stop to think. We don't have to stop to feel. And that's scary for a lot of people. And so really forcing yourself to sit in that discomfort. I know it's hard. It's hard to rest. It feels like torture to like, you're like, what can I be doing? Your mind is racing, like all of the things that
That's
you
so
could be
true.
doing, right?
Yes, because
Yeah.
when I do take the time to say, okay, I'm either sitting down to have a cup of coffee by myself and I lock myself in the room, then my mind goes thinking
Sure.
after this 10 minutes of drinking the coffee,
Yeah.
I have this to do, that to do, that to check off.
Yep. Yep. And you mentioned it in the very beginning, how our thoughts, like that mental load, can be very heavy. And that can definitely lead to burnout. Like, there have been times, even now, I say I'm recovering. I am not fully recovered, because now there's times like just last week when I was like, oh my gosh, this is really heavy. And that would mean that I would need to actually communicate with my partner, or I would need to communicate with my support system. And no, make that this invisible load visible. And I know at the end you might ask me for my final advice, and I always give, ask yourself what you need. Ask yourself, because we live on autopilot. Rarely do we say, what do I need right now? Right? Like, we're always worried about everyone else's
Yes.
needs. But even if that is, it doesn't take much time. Like, if you're limited on time and with all the demands, and you're like, what can I do to start this process? Or how can I self-care? Simply taking a minute and being like, what do I need right now? Like, I love, are you familiar with the love languages?
Yes.
Okay, so like self-love language. If your love language is touch, it might be just giving yourself a massage. If your love language is gift giving, maybe it's just treating yourself to a gift, like buying something for yourself. Whatever that love language is, translate it to yourself and say, how can I show my. And it may only take 5 minutes of your time, and you are worth way more than 5 minutes. But if that's where you need to start, then just start.
And sometimes it's really hard to find out what do I really need, because, well, a lot of times we need a lot of things. And
Right.
it's so hard sometimes to even communicate. I like when you said to communicate with your partner and your support group,
It's hard.
but it's hard, honey.
I get it.
Go get him some, because sometimes the partners don't get it.
They're not receptive or they don't get it. And that's funny because, and like I said last week, I was really struggling. I believe in the power of therapy. So I'm like, I've been doing counseling for a while. And last week I was like, it's just completely like just feeling like, because school started. That was what it was. And we couldn't narrow it down because I was like, I don't know what shifted, but something shifted. And I'm like, I feel just overwhelmed all of a sudden,
Overwhelmed.
like trying to figure out. Yeah. And we realized like it was because school started, different routines. And my counselor's like, well, you need to talk to your husband. And I was like, but I don't want to. I don't want to. And then I got kind of mad because I was like, why am I the one that's worrying about all of this and being the one to like thinking I have to shift everything? Like he could care less how the kids get home from school. And I'm like, what are we gonna do? And to be honest, like when I started thinking about that, and I was like, that's the feminist in me. So the struggle is real, but realizing like I have to talk to him. I have to make that invisible load visible. And problem solve together, like share the load, not hand it over to him, but share that load because I was struggling with it all on my own. And I'm like, he could care less, but I'm like, but because he doesn't even realize that I'm dealing with this. And so sharing that burden or sharing that load can help us problem solve together and can deepen relationships. And that's the thing with, when we're struggling with all ourselves, like by ourselves, it really creates this disconnection when we need it the most.
This is so
And
therapeutic
yeah,
for
I do
me.
not
This is
want
therapeutic for me because this week I've been thinking the same thing. It's like he hitting it on the head because school, so next week we start school.
Okay.
And it's the same. I was like, why am I the one thinking about, going back to school if the kid has everything for school? How are we gonna deal with the
Yeah.
time? And I'm the one, and I'm like, he hasn't come to me and said anything.
They're not even thinking about it. They're not like,
Where?
why?
But it is important. It is important to share the load. And I've realized that too. So, to share the load with your partner or with other family members, because I know some persons don't have a partner per se. But to find somebody or family members, even friends, to sometimes say, hey, can you watch for me
Like, see,
while,
asking for help, but it
Yes.
requires you to say, what do I need right now? And maybe it is to ask, like, maybe it is you need help, like, and that's part of that perfectionism and that, thinking that you have to do it all and you have to do it all yourself and you have to do it all amazing. Like, those are those limiting beliefs that you really need to get over.
Over.
You really need, but you need to come to terms with them and like realize that that's what's holding you back and keeping you in this state of stress and overwhelm.
And we're always stressed out as moms. But honey, when we come to passions and pursuing your purpose and all of that, that's how this podcast came. Because I remember having my son in 2015, and I was so drowning in motherhood, being a first-time mom, and you just drowning in all of that. And it's like your identity, your everything. It's like things that you used to like to do, you can't do it anymore because, the kids come
Because a
in, that
baby.
yes, you have a baby. And I started to lose myself. I felt like this wasn't me, and I was losing myself, and I remember I took him to the doctor, or I called the doctor and I said, oh, hi, this is Claudine. And, I'm setting the appointment. And the nurse, she said to me, who? And I said, I'm Claudine. I'm Landon's mom. And she's like, oh.
And so it begins.
She's like, you need to say you're whose mom? And at that moment, that hit me. I'm like, okay, so I don't have an identity. I'm now known as the kid's mom.
Yeah, like in relation to another person or in your role,
Yes. And
not
I'm like,
as much as your individual
no, I
role.
mean, these are some of the challenges that moms face. You know, we don't have an identity, or we feel like our
Right.
identity is being lost. So what are some of the challenges that we face, sometimes trying to reclaim ourselves?
So, I mean, we already mentioned the time and the beliefs. This is a hard one because claiming, like reclaiming yourself, it starts with like recognizing that you matter. Shifting those beliefs, a lot of those beliefs, like feeling like you're inadequate, feeling like the beliefs that of things that you've experienced, our beliefs are formed from our childhood and different things we've experienced or witnessed. And but when you're living on autopilot and you're continually putting everybody else's needs, including your kids or your husband, like your family's needs in front of your own, or even like you mentioned, like people at church or the PTA, like you're continually making sure everyone else is taken care of, and it's going to reinforce that loss of identity. So it's you're the only one that nobody's going to come to you and be like, you need to take time for yourself. Like, we are 100% responsible for our own lives. And so once you start realizing that and realizing that you're not so much happiness, because you can definitely find happiness in your role, but once you start realizing that you are more than a mom, then you will start, your time will be reflecting that, and how your priorities are will start reflecting that. And you'll start making time for those passions and pers like mine started my story started with Zumba. I Have you ever done a Zumba class?
Yes, because I love
So
dancing.
yes, and so I used to love dancing, like as a high schooler, like in high school, like going to dances. We used to go at that time. I think of it now, we used to go to this dance club. It was like under 21 night. And I think there was over 21 people there. And I'm like, I don't even know what my parents like. Why did they let me go to this place? But anyway, that's like back in high school. So I used to love going to these dances. And when I became a mom, it kind of went out the window. Like, I mean, I became a mom at 22, and I just kind of put everything that I like to do. I used to draw, I used to dance, I used to be like involved in different art forms, and put it all on the shelf. And then we moved to a new town, and our oldest was 10 at the time. And I met a new friend, and she was like, let's go try the Zumba class. And I couldn't. I'm like, I want to, but I just can't. Like, I was homeschooling at the time. So I was like, I have lessons I gotta teach. And I was a stay-at-home mom, but I'm like, I have lessons. I have laundry that needs to get done. My family counsel me for dinner. Our house has to be clean. Schoolwork has to be done. Like, I had a whole list in my mind of the different things. Yeah, like all the different, the checklist of all the things that the reasons why I couldn't go to the Zumba class. So thank goodness she was persistent, because she, come on, can't you go to this? I think we're gonna like it. Like, she didn't even go. She like wanted me to go with her because she wanted a partner. Finally, after probably 2 or 3 months, I think the stars lined up. I don't even know, but like dinner was in the crock pot, dinner, like school was done. My husband was home. They were all occupied, probably watching TV. I don't even know what they were doing. And she showed up at my door, and she's like, let's go to the Zumba class. And I think my husband might have been like, just go. Like, everything's done. It's not that he had to give me permission, but like, I wasn't giving myself permission, so I needed someone to like kind of push me. And I ended up loving it so much so that it created this positive reinforcement that the next time it wasn't so hard to go. Like, I didn't need that much of a push, because I realized like everyone survived, everyone was okay. I came back, and it was good. And so the energy there, I liked it so much that I continued to go and ended up becoming an instructor. And that was kind of my push to the permission I needed to give myself to say, I'm allowed to feel like alive. I'm allowed to do something that I enjoy. It wasn't because up to that point, everything I did, even though like there were things, definitely things I enjoyed, it was all in relation to other people. Like everything I, coaching, teaching classes, I was a Girl Scout leader. Like everything was in relation to my kids. Like they were going to benefit. Zumba was the first thing that I did in my married life as a mom that wasn't for anyone else but for me. And once I started doing that and realizing that I could do it, like, I felt better. I came home like energized, like, excited. It just kind of continued to push me and to try other things. Like I have done a lot of things. Like I learned how to paddleboard. I learned how to play the piano. I learned like ever since the 10 years ago. Like it just pushed me out of my comfort zone and gave me that nudge, like, and started building new beliefs that it was okay for me to. Not only was it okay, it was absolutely necessary for me to be more than a mom. But I needed to start giving myself permission. I needed to start, taking steps in that direction because I wasn't gonna, there was no way, like, until I saw that it was possible, there was no way I could bring myself to actually do something that didn't directly benefit all of the people who I, I was their mom, I was their wife.
Yes,
Like,
there.
I needed to find something for me in order to start growing that and recognizing like that I was worthy of spending time with.
And I
And I
like
even
that.
started in 2020, or actually I think it was 2021, because 2020 was COVID, but 2021, I started taking my a solocation. I would do 1 week where I would go and I would rent a hotel, and it was such an exercise in self-discovery because I woke up and I was like, what do I want to eat? I'd never asked myself that because it was always like, okay, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do today? What are we like? It was always a we. And so it was just, so I was like, I need to do this once a year, give myself, like, take off my mom hat. Like, I knew my husband, but it required me to pull in my support system and get things set up, like, or else it wasn't going to happen. But I've made it a priority because I loved it. Like, I was like, what? Like, I could go for a walk and I don't have to tell anyone.
True. Because as I said, I was just drowning in motherhood, and I remember my friends saying to me, two of my friends, they said to me, Claudie, this is not you. I was used to matching colors, jewelry, everything matching, hair well done. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, that's not you, because it's like you don't have time to put together anything. And I'm like, it's just grab and go. And they're like, no, your hair needs to be done. This needs to happen. So, sometimes the support is good because I couldn't see that. I was just busy on the go. And they're the ones that stepped in and said, this is not you. And I remember one of my friends said, she actually gave me money and said, no. You go and take care of yourself,
Intervention you needed.
And I remember a couple of years ago too, it's like I was so busy and going, that same friend said to me, no, you need time for yourself. And she was the one who actually, booked a hotel and say spend the night. And just it was the same thing, honey. It's like I went and I just stayed in the room and just slept, read a book.
And that's what you needed.
That's what I needed. I didn't have to answer to anybody. It was so good, and that's what I needed. I just needed rest and just the time for myself, because this is another thing too that I realized. When you don't take that time for yourself, the mom rage, and that's what
Absolutely.
gets me. I am one that when I am so exhausted and like so touched out, everything out, then I'm
Then
like,
watch out, watch out.
I'm a monster. Like I come home and I'm shouting, I'm just pouting, and you say, can I have some water? And I'm like, you don't know where the fridge is. Oh, and I'm slamming things, and so the mom rage. And then what gets me is that after like a day or two of that, then I have to go back to my son and say, I'm so sorry
Yeah.
that mommy was behaving this way. And I have to go back to my husband and it kills me.
Right. Yeah. So like we don't want to do that, but yet we continue like that cycle. And even though like now you're recognizing like that, if you just had slowed down before that, taken some time for yourself, but it's very hard to do. It's hard to do because there's so many things that go through our mind that keep us from taking that time. We have these expectations and
And I love that you say that no one is gonna come. You know, my friend
no.
saw, she intervened. She saw that I wasn't myself. But a lot of us moms have no one to intervene, you know, because you are everything to everyone. So sometimes nobody recognizes that. They only recognize when you stop doing and when you stop. So sometimes you have nobody. So it's like you have to be the one to recognize that nobody's gonna come to your rescue. And sometimes that's really how I feel. And I have to say, okay, my partner is not gonna come and say, do we have school books for the child next week? You know, is there a school bag? What happened to his school clothes? He's not gonna come and say that to me because he assumes that everything is already taken care of, that
And
you'll leave
especially,
that.
you start that when you got married, like you do it as a natural thing, like, oh, I'm doing this for him. I'm doing like not even for him, but like necessarily, but you kind of just take on this as part of like starting that relationship. And it gets to this point where you're like, I've been doing this for years, and now I want to do a different dance. I do it because he's used to that, and that's where like setting boundaries come. I actually are you have you ever heard of Fair Play, the Fair Play method?
No.
So it's a book. It's called Fair Play by the same name, but he became a Fair Play facilitator in the spring of this year, and she created a system where it brings equity to the home, and it allows form for communication, but it's actually a card. It's like she does it as a card game. So she gamifies it as a way to create a place to come and communicate with your partner and become more of a team. So so that you're not building resentment and, carrying that mental load, sharing the load. And it outlines all of the things that it takes to run a house and to raise a child. And so it puts it right there. And so then you have this discussion like, okay, dishes, what does it take to get clean dishes? And you talk about that. And then one person, instead of so often, like we get, as a nag, like having to nag your husband, like, hey, do you see the dishes? Or we resort to passive aggression, like leaving the sink of dirty dishes, thinking if I don't do it, maybe he'll step up and do it. Right. So like all of these other types of communication, but it because you're actually sitting down with your partner and saying, okay, let's talk about what is like the minimum standard of care. What does it take? Like if, loading the dishwasher is a huge thing. Like a lot of times you're like, no, this is how you do it. And the other, he's like, who cares how you do it? As long as they go in, or my husband like has to clean all the dishes before you put it in, which I don't understand, but it allows you just to have this card, and you sit down and you're like, okay, what does it take? And would you, who wants to own this card for the next 3 days? Who wants to own the next week? And you kind of come in and have check-ins talking about who's holding which cards. And some things you can just work to, we started off with just a few, two cards each, and it made such the difference because it was one less thing that was in my mind. One less thing that I needed to carry when he was like, I agree, I'll do the dishes. And I, even though I saw the dishes there, I stepped back and I was like, he's going to do it. I don't have to nag him. I don't have to like have this on my mind, like, when am I going to do the dishes today? Like fitting it into my schedule and all of that. It was something like he had agreed, we had a comment. So Fair Play method is just a system of creating that equity in the home and sharing the mental load, which is an amazing tool as far as being able to making the invisible load visible and having that conversation. Because a lot of times, because we're carrying so much, like you said about this, starting school and like thinking, all the things that have to get done, we end up holding that in and either turning to like mom out, either experiencing mom rage, or we start feeling resentment and disconnected from our partner. And so the fair play method just makes that visible, and being allowed to share the burden and making that invisible visible so that we don't feel disconnected, so that we feel like we're more of a team again, which is important because, you know, it's good. It's just good. You know it is. I know it is. Listeners know it is.
Because we tried that. I was the one who was, you know, I'm doing everything. And then on weekends, my son has activities. And I was the one who, you're doing the chores, running to the activities, everything. So it was like so crazy. So I had to say to my husband, like, no, every other week, you have to take him so that I can have a weekend for myself, you know? And he agreed. And he, you know, he started doing that. But sometimes the mom guilt, I'm like,
and you slip back into old patterns.
Yeah, because I'm calling them. I'm like, is he on time? Are you there? Are you watching him? Did you do this? Did you take off his swim clothes? Did you? And, you know,
yeah.
And I'm like, maybe next time I should just do it.
Just do it. See, and that's the thing. Like, you start having these thoughts. We did it. Like, my husband was, one of the first things he did was the trash. And that's the difference. I didn't tell him. We talked about the cards with, you know, what we valued as a family, why we valued as them as a family. And then he chose just two cards that he would be willing to, and I chose two cards. We didn't, like, you know, I wasn't like, why don't you take the dishes or why don't you take the trash? But see, he took the trash. And then we talked about when the trash gets to the curb. And that day I saw them sitting there. I saw the trash can sitting there, and it took a lot to not call him and be like, you forgot to take the trash out, right? Like, this was your job. And, you know, because when I became the facilitator, I'm like, we're going to do this at home because I love this. I think it's going to be a great system, but I want to see, like, what are the challenges with doing the system? And the first thing was, of course, he went into defensive mode. Like, I do help. You don't think I help enough, you know? And he does. But that's the other thing. A lot of, they keep the conceptualizing, the planning, and the execution all together. So he'd say, oh, I'll cook dinner tonight. Well, I'm the one, what are we going to cook? Do we have the ingredients? Let me get this. Like, I was doing all of the conceptualizing and planning. And then all he did was jump in and cook the dinner and say, oh, I cooked dinner. Like, and so for his mind, he was helping, but there was all. And so the person that owns that card also owns all of that. So that completely goes up. I don't have to worry about what's for dinner, if the ingredients are there. He takes that. So with the trash can, I took all of my power not to do it. And he never forgot it again, because after that, he had to take them all to the dump. So he had to go out of his way. But then ever since then, and this, we did it all summer, he was like, I'll just keep the trash card. So he just kept it. So he continually remembers. It just took that one time. So even with you, like, are you on time? Like, I was kind of got to let them, just like your kids, not that your husband's compared to your kids, but the natural consequences.
No, I say
the
I
natural
have two
consequences. Of that.
I always say I have two kids, my husband and my son.
Yeah. And he probably would. So the fair play allows him to step up, because maternal gatekeeping is where we prevent, you know, it happens with maternally. Like, you know, if you're changing your child's diaper, and then you get upset because he doesn't help, you've got to step back and let him do it your way. But the same thing with domestic, like being a gatekeeper, you've got to open that gate and let him step up to be your partner, rather than continually like, I've got it. I know what to do. I've taken him to plenty of parties before. I should just do it. Like, you've got to face that and see what is causing that. Get curious.
That's so true. Because even when, you know, even when my son goes to his grandparents, you know, I'm calling and I'm saying, you know, have this. So it's like, you really have to step back and just allow people to help.
Yes.
And allow them to do it their way, as you said, you know?
Yeah. When you step in, you're denying that other person from being able to serve.
But Ani, is there really and truly a balance? Can we?
I haven't found it. I try every day. I mean, some days are more balanced than others. I do talk about like how to find that work-life balance, because so I was a stay-at-home mom for 14 years. And then in 2017, I decided to go back and get my license for as a counselor. I got my master's back in 2003. I went from 1 week being like the first time, like stay-at-home mom, to I'd gotten into Zumba. I was teaching dance classes. I was, you know, all into like the group fitness world and becoming very interested in fitness and health. And I was going to open a studio. And my husband was like, why don't you do something? Because I was just like, I wanted to just do something. I was like kind of itchy and stuff. So he's like, why don't you do something? I actually went to school for me. So I decided that I was going to get licensed as a therapist, which meant I needed 2,300 more hours of supervised counseling hours. And so I called up our med center and I was like, do you do that? And they were like, yep, come in for an interview. That's a whole other story about the interview itself was comical, but I went and then they offered me the job. So within a week, I had to go buy a car. I had to buy work clothes. Like, and I was a full-time 9 to 5, 5 days a week. I had to commute 40 minutes every day. So I was gone out of like 10 hours a day. And it was a huge adjustment for my kids. At that point, we weren't homeschooling. They were already all back in school. But it was just a huge adjustment. My self-care kind of went out the window. Like I couldn't figure out how do I continue? Cause I was, you know, training for half marathons. I was teaching Zumba classes. I was, you know, doing a lot of things that were fun and for me, but once I went back to school, went back to work, I couldn't figure it out. And it took a while. It took, you know, a few months to kind of figure out, okay, I can do some walks at lunch, listening to podcasts, like doing some things like personal development and just being very intentional because I knew that that had to happen in order for me to thrive. So I just had to be more intentional about what I was going to do and when I was going to do it. So in order to find that balance. And every day it's different. Like, I mean, my kid's home from school today. So I'm like freaked out this morning. And so I was like, okay, I've got two kids home. And how am I going to do this? Like to feel like, when am I going to make time like to go move my body today and make the meals? Like not just dinner for everyone, but like, you know, I've been meeting with a nutritionist. Yes. And so I'm trying to work on my health and my gut health and like things like that. And so just, you know, being intentional each day, knowing that balance may never, ever come. But again, that's an expectation. But realizing that if I'm doing what's best for me and for my family.
I love that.
I don't know if that answers the question, but.
I love that. It does. You know, the balance might not come. So let go of that expectation that a balance is just doing the thing that you need at that time and trying to adjust and readjust sometimes.
yeah, exactly.
So, Audie, it has been so good talking to you. I've gotten some gems. So I'm going to share with my listeners now, you know, in wrapping up, what I learned from you, because I said this is so therapeutic for me. You're hitting the nail on the head. It's like everything that I've been thinking about this week. You have said it.
Yes. Good. And now you're going to start school next week.
Oh my gosh. The anxiety.
I get the anxiety
of it all. But you know, I'm going to see if I can adjust and readjust.
Yes. Making time for yourself, because you know that's going to have a ripple effect and be a good thing all around for everyone around you.
So, Ani, we have learned from you, and I know I have, that, you know, you have to sometimes let go of that supermom complex. You are more than a mom. You have to let go of the perfectionism and the control. I have to learn to do that.
Yeah.
You have to let go of the unrealistic expectations. You can't be everything and you can't do everything for everybody. You know, you have to let go of those unrealistic expectations. And to do that, you know, you have to realize that nobody's going to come to your rescue. Nobody's going to come, only you. So you have to give yourself the permission to,
yes, take, you know, back your power.
You have to do that. You have to step back, you know, and give other persons the chance to do things for you. And you have to communicate that. So nothing is wrong in communicating. If you want 1 hour, you know, just ask somebody, to watch the kids or to do something that you can do something for yourself for even 15 minutes, 10 minutes if you can. And I love that. You have to give yourself the permission, to do something for yourself, to take back a little time for yourself.
Yes.
And you have to be intentional about it. You have to be.
Absolutely.
Yes. And most importantly, you matter. You said it, honey.
Yes, you do. You do matter. You've got to recognize that, though.
You matter. So, honey, in wrapping up, I'm going to ask you any words of encouragement or advice for my listeners, for my moms?
Absolutely. Yes. Definitely ask yourself what you need. If you don't take anything else from this episode, make sure that you are asking yourself, what do I need? And making it a priority to give that to you. Give that to yourself because you do matter. You're important and you're worthy of prioritizing. So just start taking action. Action builds backlash. So start taking action, doing something each day to show yourself some love.
Thank you so much, Ani. Thank you for, coming
Thanks for
on this
having me,
podcast
Fabi.
and sharing with us. This was such a needed topic for me. A lot of times
Good.
these things,
Good.
the universe aligns itself because a lot of times, you're thinking about things and sometimes you have persons who are saying these things to you. And then I met you online.
Yes.
And as I said,
Yes.
this is such a good topic, especially for now.
Good.
Thank
Good.
you so much for
Thank
agreeing to come
you.
on
Thanks,
the
Bobby.
podcast and for sharing with us.
Of
And
course, my
listeners,
pleasure.
you can find Anya. Anya, how can we find you?
So let's do you can find me in my Facebook group. Facebook is my platform. I also have a podcast, and both of them are under the same name, Moms Without Capes. So we have lots of events going on in my Facebook group. I've got challenges. We have casual conversations. In fact, our conversation coming up, I don't know when this is going to drop, is going to be about mom rage. So, and we did maternal gatekeeping last month. So I do different conversations and events and Facebook lives and challenges. So come join my Facebook group or check out my podcast or both.
And I will put everything for Ani in the show notes so you guys can see and you can join because I'm a part of that Facebook group. So I don't have to rant and rave to
Yes.
myself. I have other
Yes.
people, building a community that I can rant and rave to.
That's
So thank
awesome.
you so much, Ani. Thank you for coming again.
Thanks, Claudie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mindful the Podcast. Now, if you want to watch this episode, you can view it on our YouTube channel or see the clips on our Instagram page at Mindful the Podcast. Now, guys, don't forget to share, share, share. Share this podcast with a family member, a friend, or even someone you think will benefit from this podcast and these conversations. So until next time, see ya!